Wednesday was a great day. If somebody somewhere is keeping a record of the best days in history, Wednesdays ought to be, or this particular Wednesday ought to be, added to the folder labeled Thomas. It was fall break for Metro schools, and on Monday I had checked the weather forecast for the week. Cloudy with a chance of rain every day, except for Wednesday. Sunshine, mid to upper 70s. It looked like the perfect day to go kayaking with Miles. For those of you who don't know Miles, my son, 17. Wednesday morning, I got up early, looked out the window, and yes, it looked very promising. Miles and I loaded the kayaks on the car, put the paddles and the rest of the gear in the trunk, and took off to Percy Priest Lake. First thing I did when we got there was send a text to the office. Dear Kay, dear Hope and Greg, I'm not coming in today. No worries, I wasn't playing hooky. It was a makeup day. So Miles and I put the boats in the water and started paddling across the lake toward the dam. The sky was clear, just gorgeous. Few fluffy white clouds. The lake was smooth and not a jet ski in sight. It was gorgeous. It was perfect. So I took a couple of pictures to send to, you know, Hope, Greg, and Nancy, but that was it. I didn't think about stuff, didn't worry about a thing. I just paddled and enjoyed the view, the quiet, the sun on my face, the breeze on my skin, and that Miles seemed to have a good time as well. Later in the morning, we had a little snack break on Bear Island before paddling back to the boat ramp at Hamilton Creek Park and driving home. Wednesday was a great day. Friday, however, was something else altogether. Friday was a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. I had made plans to power wash the columns, stone columns, there in the entrance to the sanctuary. They have some stains from algae growth. You may have noticed, maybe you didn't, but one mother of one bride did, and she thought we should perhaps power wash those columns. And so I thought, yeah, you got a point there. So on Thursday, I checked the power washer down in the basement, and it looked fine. It didn't have any gas in it, so I made a mental note, you know, get some gas in the morning. Bob Lyons had told me I could use one of his trucks for the day, which is great. So I could pull a boom lift from Home Depot to the church. We swapped vehicles on Thursday, and Friday morning, after a quick stop at the gas station at around 7, I signed the rental agreement with Home Depot Tool Rental for a 35-foot boom lift. Great toy, you'll love it. I backed up the truck, the hitch and the trailer fit like they were made for each other, when suddenly this Home Depot guy tells me, I can't let you drive off the lot with the equipment. Now, why is that? Sorry, buddy, your truck doesn't have the proper towing package. You can't use a bumper hitch mount. Well, now you're telling me. Where do I get another truck on Friday morning? It was too early, really, to call anybody. You don't call people at 7:30, not even your friends. So I started texting. Bob, problem with truck, do you have another vehicle I could use? And I thought, okay, Jack has a hitch on his nice Lexus or whatever that thing is. Jack, could you help me pull a boom lift from Home Depot to church? Joe, I hope you continue to do well after knee replacement surgery. And I hate to bother you with this, but could I borrow your truck? Well, turned out Bob had a van with a trailer hitch, but that was not available that day. Jack hadn't looked at his phone yet. But I got a call from Joe. Sure, you can use my truck. Just come on over and get it. Perfect. So I drove to Westmead, left Bob's truck in the driveway, took Joe's truck, and returned to the Home Depot tool rental, signed another rental agreement, paid the deposit, and pulled a boom lift to the front of the church. Everything was wonderful. It was 9:30 by now, and I hadn't done a thing yet. But I was ready. I hooked up the pressure washer, filled the tank with gas, then I positioned the boom lift on a level spot right outside the steps, and proceeded to lower the outriggers. To do that, you have to, you know, activate the controls, which requires a little key. I got the key. Well, strange, that key doesn't seem to fit. No way, no. They wouldn't give me the wrong key. It's probably me. So I tried, you know. I tried a couple of minutes, probably, and then I decided it wasn't me. It was the wrong key. So I drove back to Home Depot, where the guy apologized profusely and handed me the correct key. So sorry, buddy, we'll definitely adjust your rental time. Well, duh. That is so generous of you, I said to myself. But I was eager to get back to church and didn't say anything. So I drove back, again positioned the lift on a level spot, pulled the parking brake, extended the outriggers. Everything was doing great. Even the controls were working up and down, left and right. Wonderful, excellent. I turned on the water, ran it through the pressure washer for about 30 seconds and repaired the small engine. You know how that goes? Power switch on, gas line open, choke valve open, pull starter rope, you know, 3-4 times, something like that. So you go one, you know, and you get a nice rumble and it's so promising. And you go two and it just sounds the same. And three, well, you know where that one's going, don't you? I pull again and you know what happened exactly? Nothing. The pressure washer didn't start. So I waited a minute and tried again. Sometimes that helps. Same result. Could be a clogged air filter, I thought, or perhaps a bad spark plug. Who knows when that thing was last used? I didn't. I also didn't have the tools to check the spark plug or anything else. And did I mention that it was raining the entire time? So I walked around the building because I knew there were some tree guys in the back taking down a big tree next to the playground. And, you know, they are the kind of guys, they know how to convince a misbehaving small engine. But they were already gone. They were done with a day's work. And I hadn't even started yet. So that was not a good moment. I played with the idea of renting a working pressure washer. But then I calculated that another trip to Home Depot would take another hour, and by the time I'd get started, I'd have to think about returning the lift. Didn't make a whole lot of sense. And I didn't have all afternoon anyway, since there would be a wedding rehearsal, and while they would love to notice the clean columns, they certainly didn't want to see me like a monkey up in the basket. So what did I do? I turned off the water, I rolled up the hose, I put the pressure washer back in the storage room, pulled the outriggers in, hitched the lift to the truck and drove it back to Home Depot. Then I took Joe's truck back to his house and Bob's truck back to the warehouse and drove home in my own car. I'd been busy for something like 7 hours and I hadn't got done anything. It was, I tell you, a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. You've had days like that, haven't you? Everybody does, I hope. I don't want to be the only one. Days when just about everything that can go wrong does, in fact, go wrong. And you know what was playing in the back of my head? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. I carried that word with me all week. I wanted it to be the backdrop for anything and everything I would encounter day to day. Oh, and of course, on Wednesday, glorious Wednesday, enjoying a lovely late summer day with Miles, immersed in the beauty and peace of creation, I rejoiced. And my little heart sang, Lord of all, to thee we raise this our song of grateful praise. It was beautiful, it was glorious, and who wouldn't sing when the lake reflects the blue and white of the sky? The shoreline is dressed in every color fall introduces early in the season, and everything glows in golden light. Who wouldn't rejoice and sing? But on Friday, Rejoicing was a stretch. Rejoice always? Paul was no Pollyanna. You know that. He wrote those words from jail. He was facing capital charges. He knew that he might even die soon. And he wrote to his friends in Philippi, "But even if I'm being poured out as a libation," and he speaks of his own possible execution here, "even if I'm being poured out as a libation over the sacrifice and the offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. And in the same way, you also must be glad and rejoice with me." Like a thread of gold, joy is woven into the text of this letter from jail. And it shines in places where you'd least expect it. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. The source of Paul's joy is the nearness of God. The horizon of Paul's world, even in the confines of his cell, the horizon of Paul's world is the nearness of God. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything. In everything, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The horizon of Paul's world is not determined by the particular circumstances of each day, but by the nearness of God. According to Paul, joy is not an occasional outburst of emotion, but something both bigger and deeper, something that can ground our experience. It's a discipline of perception, of seeing things. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's a gift of grace. Joy rises when we remember that Christ has made us his own, and when we know that we are not children of circumstance, but children of God. Joy rises from the nearness of God in any circumstance. Friday was a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. But only because I wanted to wash those columns and I didn't get my way. But at the end of the day, and believe me, it didn't dawn on me until late in the evening, what's a stained column against the horizon of God's reign? Yep, it's exactly that. A column that will have to get washed another day. But wasn't it great to talk with Joe on the front porch between trips about physical therapy and small engine maintenance? Wasn't it great to drive back to Bob's warehouse and talk again about that crazy day, groaning and laughing all the time? "Go home and have a beer," he said. "I think I'll have two," I shouted over my shoulder. And later that night, I told Nancy, the Reader's Digest version of the story. For those of you who don't know, Nancy's my wife. So I told her the, condensed version. And that's when it dawned on me. It wasn't such a bad day, after all. It allowed me to notice again and be grateful for Joe's generosity. It gave Bob and me another story to tell our grandkids after the one about the great flood of 2014 that everybody missed but the two of us. And I discovered again after sitting with the day's events and processing them quietly, which is what I usually do, I process things quietly, what a gift it is to share all of it with Nancy at the end of the day. And what's all that against the horizon of God's reign? Well, it's the stuff that matters. It's the joy that remains. So rejoice in the Lord. Always. Amen.